I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a uncanny, unprecedented episode of SmackDown AfterBuzz After Show. As you can see, we are not live in studio, but we are live over Skype because we still want to break this down for all of our fans and listeners. Thank you all so much for keeping with us during this insane time over the globe right now, but we want to still break down SmackDown for you as best as we can, and we're going to do it right here for you. I'm Josh Tariff. The whole gang is with me via Skype, as you can see. First off, you can catch her every week on Impact Wrestling, on Wow Women of Wrestling, on Shein, and she's the only one that truly looks camera ready for Skype. It's Gabby Loren.
You guys, I know I put a lot of effort in, so I bet you guys will still watch because of that. So
there you go. So, for that reason. And then hanging out in the Sami Zayn shirt, celebrating a new Intercontinental Champion, it's our newest official member of our SmackDown team. It's Brian Santos. Hello, sir.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me, and thank you for welcoming me as an official member of the panel. So happy to be here.
Woo! Yes.
And somehow finding a way to get a little time away from his crazy babies, it's Tom Connolly as well.
I'm here. You may hear screaming in the background, just so you know.
Do we have to specify what the scream is from?
Probably should. There's two guest stars.
It's the babies or the dog barking. So we'll see. Yeah.
I have a dog as well, so if you guys hear Kirby, that's what's happening.
Oh, this is going to be a fun guessing game. Is it a dog or a baby? All right, so we'll get into this week's SmackDown. I mean, again, this is an unprecedented episode of our after show, and clearly an unprecedented episode of SmackDown, hailing from the Performance Center, empty. Just the superstars, the refs, the production crew. That's it. Before we break down the show itself, Tom, I'm just curious, your overall thoughts on how just the whole venue looked for SmackDown?
I mean, for what they did, and I know they put out a video online the other day of before they had NXT, and like it took them, they had everyone from the Performance Center, all the wrestlers there come in on like Sunday, their day off, to come in and take out all the rings and just transform that place. You would never know seeing that picture that they were not in the Full Sail arena where they normally are, and they were in Performance Center. I mean, it's great money invested in this for the future of if they ever want to do any kind of show there, they know they can now, and they could put people in there. They could have, you know, have seats. And I mean, I thought it looked like a regular arena. It didn't look anything much different. Once the cameras were rolling and there were people in the ring, you wouldn't really have known the difference if they were in a 15,000-seat arena or, you know, a 5,000, as long as they stayed close, you know, close-up shots on the ring.
Gabby, what about you?
Okay, I'm going to get my special guest star because he's causing trouble, and he's going to help me answer.
This is what you get for being on Skype and watching us, everybody. We get guests. Get guests in the AfterBuzz studio, apparently, but over Skype we get guests.
This is Kirby. He's trying to get into my roommate's non-perishable food in case we're all quarantined and stuck at home. I hear him scratching at the box in the corner, so that's why I'm just like, I better grab him. So my overall thoughts of the Performance Center taping and the venue and what they did is that I think that, just like Tom said, they did a phenomenal job. I like that they kept the seating in there to make it feel like an arena. I feel like some of the best promos we saw was on Friday, and it was just, you know, Elimination Chamber match aside, I think that ate up time, of course, but they seem to really perform and show their skill set, and they picked some of the best superstars to do that on that Friday, and it showed in the ratings, which we'll get to in the news.
Brian?
I 100% agree. Love the setup. It, like everyone said, it looked great, and everyone performed to the best of their abilities. We had some amazing matches. Cesaro and Daniel Bryan was great. Even the tag match between the girls was great, so I loved the whole episode.
I mean, my only thought with everything with this was, so why are they paying Full Sail to do NXT there? Because they clearly can do this there.
Yeah, but they have to.
Wouldn't that save them money? I mean, I'm not in charge of their budget, but this looked like it. Like you said, Tom, you said it perfectly. Like, Okay, we can just have NXT there every week, and it looks like the same style arena. I mean, I don't understand why they just don't do this regularly.
It save them a lot of money, right?
Huh?
Might save them a lot of money, but then also they'd have to sell tickets in that area every week as well.
Yeah. So
that's what I was thinking too. Like, it would be hard with, like, you know, like having a ticket booth maybe, or like parking even. Just, I guess, those logistical things might make it easy for them to, hard for them to have it at Performance Center. So yeah. Maybe that's what they take into consideration.
I mean, I think if anything, they should just build, they could literally build a building to do it in, though.
Sure.
WWE, they definitely have that Saudi Arabian money now.
Yeah. Right?
With the Performance Center, they still need to have people training and all that other stuff. So if they build an actual building like next door down the street, they could easily do this every week there.
Yeah. So the actual show itself, it starts with Triple H giving us an introduction, and we see quite a bit of Triple H throughout the entire show. And I felt like it was Michael Cole's first episode of anything ever, because Triple H was just hazing him the entire show.
That was my favorite part.
It was amazing. Like, I don't think Triple H can pull this off every single week. But if he did something like this, like two or three times a year, where he's just on the entire show goofing off, I'm for it.
Honestly, I feel like that's what we're missing in our weekly wrestling with Fox's SmackDown and Monday Night Raw. I think we need dynamics like this. I actually, for the first time, paid attention to commentary tonight in a while. Because a lot of times I only tune in and then tune out. It's very distracting with all, I feel like, the crowd noise and everything that's going on. But in a night like Friday, when there is no crowd noise and you have the dynamic of Triple H and Michael Cole, you're definitely more tuned into what they're actually saying.
Brian, what about you?
I agree too. I liked how everything was presented. It was definitely a fun dynamic to see everybody kind of just having fun with it. Of course, they were trying to make not light of the situation, but make it a little bit more a better mood, because it definitely came at a bad circumstance, or an unfortunate circumstance. So thankfully that's what they did, and they pulled it off pretty well. And I saw a lot of tweets from a lot of the wrestlers saying that it was a really big collaboration on everybody's part to put this together. So it came across really well to all of us, and we obviously all liked it. So
yeah. And Brian, I want to stay with you on this, because in our first segment, so they advertised prior to all the craziness that Paige was going to be on SmackDown to confront Bayley, which completely comes out of left field. Now, due to travel issues, Paige wasn't there. So mm-hmm. Bayley and Sasha start out the show saying, "This is our house." And Michael Cole informed them that due to travel issues, they're not there. Alexa and Nikki Cross come out saying, "Well, since she's not here, why don't we have a match? Because we still want a tag title match." Well, I said Alexa, and my Alexa just went off. The beauty of Skype. So
that's hysterical.
But so we're completely in the dark of what Paige has to do with anything. Mm-hmm. She's been off backstage the last couple weeks, and then out of the blue, they say she's going to be on SmackDown for Bayley. Wasn't on SmackDown due to obvious issues. Brian, I'm going to let you, because you are the for SmackDown as far as on this panel goes. Who or why is Paige getting involved?
I have no idea what she's doing. I think, if I'm not mistaken, seriously, I have no idea what she's up to.
That's our expert. But
if I'm not mistaken, there was like a Twitter, maybe like a Twitter feud they were going off. Bayley just like goes off on Twitter now, trying to be heel Bayley, and she's doing pretty good at it. But I think she did make a stab at Paige at one time, which is what prompted this whole thing to come crashing down. I don't really know what's going to happen next. Paige is, they didn't even announce that she's going to come back next week and address it again. Hopefully they do, because we need some answers as to why they're doing this. But I think that it's more just like a Twitter battle, or just a reason to get Paige back involved, because she has just been doing the backstage stuff.
Tom, is this some type of possibility that Paige is actually medically cleared?
I don't know about that. I would say if anything, she's going to be another manager of someone coming in. Maybe to at least set up an opponent for Mania, or at least do something to add a little, you know, fuel into this whole Sasha, Bayley, whoever's feuding with them feud. Just to get, you know, maybe have someone that they don't think is that great, you know, of a talker. Hey, give her Paige. Paige, we know what she can talk. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens with that.
Gabby, do you have any guesses?
Yeah, I'm thinking one of two things. Either it's going to go Tom's way, where she becomes a manager and it's a way for her to get more involved and more of a paycheck, maybe. Or she did get medically cleared and made a comeback, just like Daniel Bryan did. And mm-hmm. maybe WrestleMania could be a storyline for her where she comes back as a debut at WrestleMania.
Well, yeah, because we still have no idea who Bayley's opponent may be for WrestleMania. Mm-mm. So it's not out of the question, especially since we've seen Daniel Bryan and Edge, you know, come back. Who's to say Paige can't?
Nikki Bella's next.
Well, she's kind of pregnant at the moment.
So, in 8 months.
Gotta give her a little more time.
So, her and her baby are coming back.
Yeah.
Yes.
The baby's the manager.
Yeah. The baby's bossing her around. It's like baby stay out.
So Alexa and Nikki Cross versus Sasha and Bayley. I love this, and it's not to make fun of in any aspect, because obviously we know the situations and how difficult it is to wrestle in front of absolutely nobody. But when Nikki Cross in the corner doing the clap, you know, like trying like to hype up Alexa, and Triple H on commentary making fun of her for it, it was like, no, this is just instinct. This is what they do. This is their job. So they're still going to do it no matter how many people are in the crowd. And I actually appreciated the fact that they didn't change their styles at all with no audience.
But do you really think that he was making fun of her for doing that? I thought he was giving her kudos for that, as that was one of the reasons why he liked her.
I got the vibe throughout the show of a few different things, like when people were just yelling, like looking like they're yelling out of the crowd or things like that. But Triple H was kind of ribbing him for it. But I mean, at the same time, I'm sure he was just doing it all in jest and good fun, because he's having a blast out there. So why not call stuff out? Like he called out that Michael Cole's soul patch wasn't sticking out enough, so we needed a Sharpie to get that back into place.
So great.
So the tag match ends. Asuka comes through the crowd, as Triple H said, and attacks Alexa when the ref doesn't see. Bank statement on Nikki Cross. Bayley and Sasha get the win. So we're definitely setting up the women's tag titles, but again, still have no idea what's happening with Bayley in her title match. Roman Reigns, one-on-one interview, you know, because now they have time to just sit and chill in the ring and just have a polite conversation. So Cole's asking about dealing with critics, and as far as a lot of people saying that Roman doesn't deserve to be in the main event at WrestleMania.
Haven't we heard this over and over again, by the way?
Say it again?
We've heard this story multiple times, that Roman doesn't deserve this, Roman doesn't deserve that. I feel like he's been asked this question time and time again.
Yes.
He's getting the Cena treatment, and this is like the same topic Cena would have for years and years. Although I did like one thing Roman said on here. He said, it was like, well, if I'm the one main eventing all the live events,
yeah,
why can't I main event the biggest show?
Yes.
No, that makes perfect sense.
Logical.
Yeah. And he mentions that he's going to whoop Goldberg's ass, and that was that.
Yes.
I loved him just saying, like, he's a part-timer. I'm a full-timer. I'm here all the time. I do this all day, 24/7, and we don't need this. Like, basically just – I liked it just being, like, very dismissive of Goldberg, of, like, we don't need this here anymore. Like, almost kind of like when I, you know – raged a couple weeks ago of just being like mad about having this match. I mean, I said then, I say it now, I want him to destroy Goldberg, and I, whenever they have this match, Mania or not, I think it should be a very decisive win for Roman Reigns to be like, oh wow, he defeated Goldberg. Because how many losses does Goldberg really have? I think maybe 3 or 4. I think Triple H beat him, Kevin Nash.
More than you think. I mean, it's not like a ton by any means, but he's probably got somewhere in his career, somewhere between 10 and 20.
Really? He lost like, that many times? Wow.
Well, he's been around a lot longer than, I mean.
That streak was forever, so.
The WCW streak went on for a long time, but he did still lose a couple more matches in WCW.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, I wasn't watching as much as that.
WWE matches.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's, again, it's. if you're looking at a winning percentage, yeah, no one's close to Goldberg's.
I'm almost wondering what the fans think about this one. Do you want Roman Reigns to win over Goldberg just because Roman Reigns is a full-timer and Goldberg is coming back like a Cena or a Brock Lesnar? Or would you prefer Goldberg to win just because it's Goldberg? I'm curious to know your thoughts.
Well, I say 100% Roman wins for the full-timer reason. Mm. That said, I wouldn't be against if they threw a complete curveball at us and somehow had Goldberg win, only to then lose like that following SmackDown to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Just for that surprise factor, because nobody thinks Goldberg is beating Roman. Nobody thinks that right now.
Yeah. But in my mind, that's so lame because you right. then have him win at WrestleMania, the biggest show of the year, and then he comes on just a random SmackDown after. Not that it's random, but you know. It's just a SmackDown.
They Zack Ryder. Why wouldn't they do it for Goldberg?
I know they've done it before. I find it to be, especially in times like these today, if we are going to get a WrestleMania, then you throw them on SmackDown the next week and this mega superstar Goldberg just won, but he's going to lose to like a random opponent and it wasn't even, you know, WrestleMania situation. I don't know.
I want Roman to win because that was like the best promo of his life, in my opinion. I thought he did. I mean, he does great promos, but he just did amazing. And it was so real. And like you said, exactly the whole point about main eventing every single night. And why can't I just take it? I think it was such a great explanation for the whole you're next, I'm next thing, because I was so irritated by that of just declaring that he was going to get the WrestleMania main event. But now he makes so much sense. He's like, this is the reason why I think I should just get it. I don't need a lineup behind anybody else. I'm in front of the line.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I think this was definitely his best promo ever.
Ever. They had some time to work on things.
And he looked, by the way, he looks great every single week, but I just have to point out that he looked amazing.
All right. He looked right at the chat with Michael Cole.
Yes.
Then we have Caleb backstage, and this was kind of, we did like five promos in one here. In this segment. So Kayla's with Zayn, Nakamura, and Cesaro. They're celebrating that Sami Zayn won the Intercontinental Championship. She mentions that they've been bumped. Her real guest is Jeff Hardy, who's happy to be back. He gets interrupted by Corbin, who's making fun of Hardy being arrested, which, again, we've heard that before. So now they announce that they're going to have a match. And then as Jeff Hardy leaves, Corbin's interrupted by Elias, and he tries to sing, and Corbin just walks away. Tom, grasp all this, please, because that was a lot.
I mean, I think it was just like, how can we fit everything into one, not this a bunch of times, and be like, hey, guys, this is what we're doing, so get ready to do it. I thought the Sami Zayn part was perfect, just them coming in. And I mean, he's such a good heel and just so easily, it's so easy to hate him because he just comes across that way. And then having Cesaro and Nakamura with him just makes him that much better of having like muscle to back him up. The Jeff Hardy thing was kind of, it was good. It was fine. I think, you know, it's like, okay, who is he going to fight tonight? Corbin seems like the logical person just to say like, okay, good. This is a good heel for him to go against, someone that everyone's going to be against. And then I'm interested to see where the Elias Corbin thing goes.
Yeah, and Sami Zayn, they continue as we come back from commercial because we have Dan O'Brien with Drew Gulak. Brian asking Drew if he'll teach him. They're interrupted by Zayn, Cesaro, and Nakamura. And I loved this because Zayn brings back, I'm kind of insulted. A few months ago, we asked you to join us. You said no, but you're going to align yourself with him? Because this was, I completely forgot the storyline even existed until Sami Zayn brought it back up. Because this got hidden because immediately once they tried this for a week or two, then all of a sudden Dan O'Brien was feuding with Bray. And this was just thrown to the wayside. So the fact that they brought that back and then it ends up in Cesaro and Bryan going face to face saying they're going to have a match tonight. So I was very intrigued by this. Gabby, do you think, based on this segment, and we'll get into the match in a little bit, but based on this segment, is there any chance that all this could end up with Drew Gulak becoming Intercontinental Champion?
Oh, I think there's definitely a good chance. He reminds me so much of Daniel Bryan. I don't know, obviously looks-wise, but I think it's a good pairing, and I hope that they do more with him. I'm loving it. So, yes, I do think that this is an opening for a new person, new blood to come in and have a title championship reign here on SmackDown Live.
All right. And then from there, they show a replay of the tag team title match from Elimination Chamber. Obviously, we're not going to be breaking down that match because you've already heard people break down that match on the AfterBuzz Elimination Chamber after show. I should know. I was on that one. Mm-hmm. But what I do want to mention is, because we always hate when they replay matches on shows, but this, I think, was like one of the only times that I applauded this idea for WWE to air this match during a show. I mean, yeah, it was like over a half hour long, mm-hmm. but based on the circumstance and they had a limited roster, you're showing one of your biggest gimmick type matches on network television.
Yes.
Normally does not get to see that. Plus, with so many other shows and sporting events being postponed and canceled or whatever, this is an advertisement to subscribe mm-hmm. to the WWE Network, because if you like this, hey, you can watch all these other ones that have happened by subscribing now that you got a free look at this. So this was one of those rare moments that I was just like, you know what? I don't mind rewatching this match because this is a great marketing idea given the circumstances.
Definitely. And on top of that, hello, Lucha House Party. They're freaking amazing. Honestly, I wish they had more opportunity to shine because, I don't know, I love watching luchadores. I don't know about you guys, but they're some of my favorite wrestlers.
Oh, yeah. And hopefully this will give them more opportunities in the weeks ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Bryant, I mean, I know you joked maybe about 5 minutes ago about, oh, yeah, we had to sit through the Chamber tag team match again. Did I sway you a different direction with my little spiel?
No, so I was just thinking about this also, that is so true. All the things you said about how it's perfect advertising for the network and the fact that you can see that kind of match, which was a really, really great match in general anyways, on a bigger platform like network television was perfect. And I guess it was just a time killer. So all those things considered, I definitely agree that it was a good time to make use of the circumstance. So I think that it was the perfect place to put it in the middle of the show.
Tom, is everyone in agreement with me? I'm kind of scared. This never happens.
Yeah, I think we are. Uh-oh.
you know, it's a tall tale sign of COVID-19 if everyone is agreeing with what I'm saying.
None of us are infected.
When I they were showing this, I was like, okay, well, that's kind of weird and random, but then it leads into the promo after. So yes. Then it kind of made sense. Then you were like, I was like, why are they showing this match? I get it was, you know, to kill time. And I will say that at first I knew when it said they were going to have a limited roster, I was like, oh, maybe we'll get some like NXT people on here. But I'm glad they didn't do that at all this time. And they just kind of focused it on like whoever was there that's from SmackDown is on the show, and that we're going to play it. And it's not like, oh, we need all these other people to come in to help this show get better. We're just going to go with what we have, and this is how we're going to present it. So I thought it worked.
Yeah, definitely. And then, as you alluded to, once the match finishes airing, you have Miz and Morrison in the ring in like a mini celebration as far as what we all just watched them accomplish. And then they play the game of, all right, well, if anyone else thinks that they can step up to us and don't think we're the greatest tag team champions of all time, speak now. Silence.
That was smart.
It was really smart. John Morrison got a plug for his Boone the Bounty Hunter movie in. It was just a fun little heel promo that worked out well, even with no audience.
Thankfully, no one responded to the hey, hey, ho, ho, because they just need to put an end to that chant because it is so cringy. Oh.
Miz and Morrison, hey.
Oh. I'm actually very impressed by the fact that all of our superstars were able to run all their promos. And as if there was an audience, there was no fumbling. They were so on point. And it must be so hard to do that knowing there's no energy to feed off of. Imagine that. You're literally in an empty room and all you have is Triple H, Michael Cole, probably like one or two camera guys and the ref.
I mean, yeah, any performer knows the harder shows are with the fewer people because you can hear every little thing and you're questioning every move. While the bigger shows, from people on the outside, they think, oh, those must be the scary ones. No, those are the fun ones because those ones are just so many people, so much energy. But you're literally performing in front of Triple H, your boss, and a production crew. That's it.
And Michael Cole, who's been there for 30 years. No big deal.
And they all have to remain silent. They can't cheer or anything like that. So it is so difficult. And you're absolutely right. The fact that they delivered the way they did between the matches and the promos just really shows how well trained as entertainers that these superstars are, which goes right into Daniel Bryan versus Cesaro. Now, this could be a 30-minute classic if they wanted. It was a little, to me, on the shorter side and with a very quick finish, but it was just giving us that little taste of, oh, you know that these two would put on just like the best damn technical match ever in the history of wrestling. Uh-huh. Daniel Bryan countered a crossface into a roll-up, gets the win, and then the five of them all brawled afterwards. Brian, your thoughts on that?
It was an amazing match. I am like one of the biggest Cesaro fans out there, so I think that they both did really well. Like you said, it was a really quick little match, kind of like a teaser to say that they could go for 30 minutes and it could be a WrestleMania match. It could lead to so many different things, like we're talking about with Intercontinental Championship, maybe like Intercontinental Championship ladder match, anything of that sort that really just showed both of how great they are. Quick little roll up, and of course it led to that little brawl. And I like what they're doing with basically showing how Daniel Bryan is trying to appreciate Drew Gulak more from that whole respect aspect of the really great match at Elimination Chamber. So really interesting dynamic.
Tom?
Yeah, when they did the promo backstage, I was sitting there just going, oh, all right, this is going to be the match of the night. They're just going to let these guys just go, and it's going to just light the internet on fire of just being like, everyone just being like, oh my God, did you just see what they just did? But we didn't get that. I was expecting way more. I think what happened was I just set my expectations so high to be like, they're going to let them go for 20 minutes. They're going to tear this place down and we're going to see what happens. But I get the idea of like, there's not an audience live. You know, we don't want them like killing themselves, like doing crazy things. But I just wish it would have been more of a showcase for Cesaro. Like he got some things in, but, and you know, with him and Daniel Bryan, they can go for probably an hour and be just kill it all the whole time. I wish the ending was a little weird to me, but it is what it is. I get that what they're trying to do with this show is just put on something that's entertaining. I just think that if with everything else canceled, like all those sporting events, if I was just a regular person tuning into this show because there's nothing else on TV to watch right now, and I saw this match, I don't know. It wouldn't have hooked me. I think they could have really, really hooked in a bunch of like other people or people that haven't watched wrestling in a while. They go, well, there's nothing on. I guess I'll watch wrestling tonight. I'll watch SmackDown.
And I then think that's what happened.
I think it
happened anyways.
But I think if it would have brought in more people to stay, I'm saying, then just for one night.
Gabby, any thoughts on this match?
I'm going to keep quiet on like Tom's comments because I'd like to counter, but I will talk about that later.
Fair enough. All
right. Yeah, I mean, the match I thought was okay, but I honestly loved SmackDown in general from start to finish. So I wasn't like bum-hurt about anything in particular. I thought everything was pretty well executed and interesting and kept me engaged regardless of the length. I also would really like to see the storyline continue and see if like we could get more of Sami Zayn with Daniel Bryan, because mm-hmm. I like the dynamic of how he did ask him to join his forces with him and Daniel Bryan didn't. But could we possibly see that down the line? Could there be a situation where Drew Gulak and Daniel Bryan keep working together, but then maybe Daniel Bryan betrays him, or one or the other betrays the other, and we see him go with Sami Zayn at some point. That could be really fun. I love Sami Zayn. He's another super talented WWE superstar, and it might be nice to see Daniel Bryan switch it up.
Yeah, absolutely. King Corbin versus the returning Jeff Hardy. Normally, Jeff Hardy returning after all these months gone with injury would be the top story of the show. It was like story number 8 this week based on everything else that's going on in the world. Literally, the only notes that I put for this match, Twist of Fury? Hey, Tom, you've been watching wrestling a while. Has it ever been called a Twist of Fury?
Yeah, I love that move. I've seen it since. I saw something online of like Matt Hardy apparently had trademark or something, but I think then he said, I don't have a trademark for that. So I don't know. Maybe I think if anything, they're just trying to differentiate it from just give it a different name. Like, I mean,
I think they're, what they're doing is because they have so much respect for Matt Hardy that even though if there's, whether there's a trademark or not, they're just like, you know what? That's your name. I'm going to leave that with you. Jeff still do the move, so we'll just alter the name a little bit because it's still your brother, but Twist of Fate is your move. So now it's a Twist of Fury.
Kind of sounds better almost. I don't know. I kind of like it. I think it's better.
Well, now he's angry that his brother's not with him, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Fury. So he just takes it out on Corbin. As Jeff Hardy wins the match with a Swanton after he hit the Twist of Fury, being a distraction from Elias, who was hanging on the commentary, arguing with Michael Cole about when the bell rang. That was pretty much the extent of this match.
I just want to say one thing about as I was sitting there watching it, my fiance is sitting there watching it as well. Just sometimes she'll watch. And Elias starts playing the guitar. And she goes, what the heck is happening right now?
We were all asking that same question.
Yeah. I was like, it's Elias. What do you mean? He's doing a concert. She was like, okay. Like, she's just very like, what is going on in the show right now? It just made me laugh. From like someone who doesn't watch wrestling to just be sitting here watching going, what the heck? Like, what?
Brian, are you okay with a Corbin Elias feud? Because that's clearly what we're going towards.
No, we talked about this on a recent episode of basically just the fact that we don't know what this is going to lead to. If this is going to be a WrestleMania match, it's a waste of a match. Tom even said it shouldn't even be on SmackDown, but it's possibly on WrestleMania. So we'll see how that goes. Triple H made a funny little comment about Elias, though, basically like, you were so bad that the match had to end or something to that effect. And I was like, oh my gosh. So we'll see what happens with Corbin and Elias, but hopefully it's not on a WrestleMania card. Please be on the kickoff at least, because I can't see that on the main card. That's a waste of space.
And then time for your main event promo of the evening, because it was Cena returning, again, having the intimate conversation with Michael Cole. And Cena talking about how Bray blames me for his failures. The reality is Bray is just lazy, and this Mania match is going to accomplish getting rid of the most overhyped, overprivileged superstar in existence. All of a sudden, Bray shows up through the crowd, saying, you know, that Cena craves a spotlight like an addict, and I stopped fighting the voices and I started listening to them. Cena, you broke me, but the Fiend put me back together, and there's going to be a slaughter at WrestleMania. You just don't know it yet. And then the stare down, lights out, SmackDown ends. So again, no physicality at all between the two of them. Tom, what did you think of this?
I mean, this made SmackDown for me, I think it was the highlight of the night. And I think, I mean, granted what's happening in the world, things are doom gloom. And then with no audience, I was not expecting Bray to be there at all. I thought, okay, this is just going to be a Cena promo. This is going to be like him, like kind of like hyping up this match, and that's all we're going to get. And I think you would have never gotten what you got out of this promo if there was a crowd there. The silence in the arena made it so much, just added a layer to what he was saying. And they're both came from good point of views of Cena saying, again, someone coming up saying, I was the one that ruined their career and blah, blah, blah. I've done this every time. I'm going to knock, you know, it's like line them up. I'm knocking them down. And then Bray coming in and saying, you know, oh, but you're coming back because you crave it. Crave the addiction, you know, you're addicted to the spotlight. You need this. You could, you know, he could have been like, you could have stayed in Hollywood. You still would have got some limelight for this. But no, you need to come back here. Like, you're not getting the limelight you're getting there that you would get here. And it was just creepy and so eerie. And I thought it was perfect. And I can't wait. I'm excited. It made me even more excited to see this match because I was not that hyped about it before. Now I'm saying, okay, this could be the main event of WrestleMania. Probably should have been, but it won't be.
Could have been with the title.
Yes. Yes. If this was with the title, oh, man. I think people would just be eating this up, you know, with a spoon.
Abby, what do you think? How did this promo go for you?
I think the lack of the live audience, like Tom had mentioned, actually made it better also. It made it more intimate. And I think this promo, like you mentioned, kind of deserved to be more intimate, just the two of them. I also loved how Bray was sitting in the audience by himself. We didn't even know he was there. And all of a sudden we hear his creepy giggle. And then the camera goes to him from John Cena. And then he hops over. But they had him...
Security! Someone jumped the barricade. No.
But it was nice to have him actually in the audience with no audience. You know what I mean? Like, he was sitting there. It brought the audience in, I guess, for me. And then, yeah, I think this is a good matchup. John Cena came in with a hot promo. He's on it. It's almost as if he hadn't been away for so long doing the movie thing. I feel like he nailed his promo. Everything he said was so on point. It really added to the storyline. And I'm very, very excited to see where we take this, hopefully, in WrestleMania 36.
Bryant, any final thoughts as far as this promo that they haven't addressed?
I actually completely disagree. Ooh. So I, this is the first time. I don't know. For me, it didn't really do anything for me. And I'm trying not to have a grudge against John Cena. But it's just, for me, it just feels really strange. The promo of 6 years ago, I guess it kind of makes sense, but it kind of doesn't. But it didn't really do anything for me. I do agree that what you guys are talking about of being more intimate and kind of a little bit creepier, which plays to Bray's strengths. And I like that he did come out as Bray and not The Fiend. But I think it was okay. It didn't really do anything for me. I feel like John Cena is just repeating himself. It's kind of like hitting me over the head, which is probably why I didn't like it. But besides that, it was okay. But kind of disagree that it took anything over, because for me, I felt like it kind of pulled it back.
All right, Bryant, you're new, so it's okay to be wrong once in a while. That's fine. This was fantastic.
I agree with the beer, though. As much as I said I liked it, I agree where you're coming from of saying that, you know, it is Cena repeating himself over and over again.
Well, I mean, and then it's the same thing with Roman, which is the same thing when Hogan cut from it. Same thing. Any top babyface, their promos are the same. Yeah. That's why everyone knows them and recites them and buys the merch that says them. It's just what they do. That's just the DNA of a top WWE superstar babyface promo. Believe that indeed. So that's how SmackDown wraps up. But just because we're on Skype does not mean that we cannot have what some people say is the best part of the show. Thanks. By some people, I mean one female on this panel.
No, and all of our fans.
So with that, hold on, Gabby. Hold on, you ready? Okay, can you hear that?
Yeah.
All right, wrestling wrap. Go for it.
All right, guys, wrestling wrap for the week of March 9th through the 15th. So far, I'm wrapping up a few points, but you can hear the full story on my Wrestling Wrap YouTube. All right, so we all know the developments that have happened around WrestleMania 36 and how the McMahons are still contemplating what they're going to do in regards to WrestleMania. Will the show go on or will it get canceled, rescheduled because of COVID-19? So the County Emergency Policy Group in Hillsborough County had a meeting, and the county commissioner, Les Miller, said if WWE and Vince McMahon don't make a call to postpone WrestleMania due to the COVID-19 pandemic, they likely will. It looks like they're giving them about a week to decide. And if they don't announce a decision within the week, then Hillsborough County and this emergency policy group are going to take it into their own hands, which doesn't look good, especially at the state of affairs right now with what's going on, all the press conferences state to state, with more closures of restaurants, public gatherings. They keep whittling the number down of how many people can even be in a social group. They originally started with 500 or 1,000, and then it went to 500 and then 250, then 100. The number just keeps getting lower and lower. It's really crazy out there. So we'll just have to see what happens, but I'm just wondering your guys' thoughts on, you know, do you think this will run? Also, will this affect the outcome of WrestleCon? Because as we've probably seen on social media, the owner of WrestleCon, that is Michael, he's been very present on Twitter and social media. His name is Michael Bocciccio. I hope I'm saying that right. He's definitely probably Italian. But he's pretty much saying how devastating this will be if WrestleCon is canceled. And I think he's waiting for WWE to make a call before they make a call on WrestleCon. So they are offering refunds at the moment for people that want it. And he's actually put up a post with an email address for you to be able to email for your refunds, as he understands it's hard with scheduling right now if you don't want to wait it out. But you guys, this is really, really rough right now. I mean, you have one event waiting on the other, and then WrestleMania and WWE are kind of waiting on Hillsborough County and vice versa. Like they're all, you know, going back and forth. So a lot of drama right now.
Yeah. The fact that WrestleMania has not been canceled yet when every other sporting event has been postponed or canceled is the most Vince McMahon thing Vince McMahon has done. he is all about being the last one standing, and that's what he's working on right now. So what's interesting, though, is when you bring up WrestleCon, also Cauliflower Alley Club, which is scheduled late April in Las Vegas. Those specific events are heavily featured by senior citizens, by older people in the wrestling business, who are most affected by the COVID-19 based on what everyone's saying, the weaker immune systems that happen to be older. So you have a Hall of Fame, WrestleCon, Cauliflower Alley, WrestleMania, traveling all over the place, trying to put everything together, not even at the AfterBuzz studios right now. I mean, and it's just four of us in a room. So they're going to have 90, 80,000 there. It's not going to happen. It's just not. I cannot believe that.
Oh, my God. I just knocked on my light, you guys. I want to continue this conversation, but my computer was about to die, so I had to get the plug.
Okay. No, she's fine. We'll keep going. Tom, your thoughts with everything else. Everybody.
I agree with you, too. It's like, come on, Vince. It's not looking good. Like, it's just not looking good. And to me, being a fan of WWE, I've been lucky to go to a couple of WrestleManias and other shows. We see what is happening in the world right now. We are 3 weeks away from WrestleMania? Nothing seems to be, even if things start getting better in a week or so, it will not be ready. It will not be better in time for a WrestleMania. And if I was a fan and I paid $1,000 for a ticket to WrestleMania, and then they end up saying, well, we're still having the show, but I live in California and there's no way I'm getting to Florida, I would be very, very upset with them as a company. And that would be a very last straw of like, I may watch your product still, but I am never, ever paying for a ticket to your show again because you really just screwed me out of money. And with the WrestleCon thing, the same thing. Those guys are depending on the fans to be there. It's a fan event. If there's no fans, then those guys aren't making their money. And then, you know, it just hurts everyone. And I think the call for them is
canceled. Because how many people are flying from Europe for WrestleMania weekend? And they can't?
Yeah.
And you guys, to be fair, you know, WrestleCon is giving refunds. I'm sure WWE will do refunds in that case. Because WrestleCon's been a very stand-up company. They've been very transparent about everything going on and all the developments. Every time there's something new and a new development, they are posting it on social media. So I encourage you to follow the Twitter account if you do want to follow what's going on, because they'll be the first to announce it. So really, it's the wrestlers that are having an issue right now, the vendors, people that rely on this income at this point. And I'm sure all these people have flights too and travel expenses that they're all dealing with. A lot of promoters aren't going to get their money back. Specifically, we had a quote from Michael that he put out, and he literally said this: "I'm not kidding. If this is a full cancellation, I'll likely sell my house. You can put it on record. It's true." Like, that's scary.
Yeah.
We're definitely heading into a recession at this point. I'm predicting it, because this COVID-19 situation has severely affected the economy, with so many people out of work, being laid off because their companies are not able to pay them. I mean, it's just crazy. We're in shutdown with certain places right now.
Yeah. I will say, if anything, I think, sorry, Brian, I would say if WWE, I think they could come out of this looking even better than anything, because we know they're a billion-dollar company. We know they have all this money. What if, hey, Michael from WrestleCon, since we're not having WrestleMania this year, and I think they should tell, WWE should make that decision, not let the city make the decision for them. I think that does not look good on them.
When everything, it doesn't.
You say, I mean, and they don't have to announce it to anybody. They could message this guy separately and go, "We will cover you for whatever you need right now. We understand that this is not anybody's, you know, nobody thought this was going to happen." So it's not like Vince is going, "Oh, I'm just going to do it because I want to do it." Like, I think they'd be a real hero to the other indie wrestling promotions and really get on their good side by really helping everyone out. Like, I'm not saying pay everyone, but find something to do for them.
To give back?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard, because if WWE does cancel it on their own without the county making the decision, they've now also affected WrestleCon and all these other companies by making that decision. I almost feel like they want the county to make the decision for them so that it's not them pulling the plug and having the responsibility of everyone's livelihood.
Wasn't our fault. It's them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're going to just say, "Well, we wanted to continue with it, but it's out of our hands," pretty much.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't think they want to take responsibility for something so serious that's going to affect the livelihood of so many people.
Yeah.
So on a lighter note, SmackDown's ratings were actually up this week because, I mean, we had their show in the Performance Center, and it wasn't in an arena with fans, but to everyone's surprise, more people watched. It hit numbers that we haven't seen since November of 2019. So they obviously did something right.
I'm not surprised by that at all. Everyone wanted to tune in and be like, "What the hell are they going to do? How is this going to work? And there are no NBA games. There's no NCAA games. We need something. Let's find out what happens." I'm not at all surprised that this is the highest rating in a while.
Yeah, and I think they got like 16,000. Oh, sorry, Gabby. You know, 16,000 fans from the cancellation of the in-studio audience or the live audience that automatically watch from home, you know, so that's probably another big factor.
So do you guys think that these people are fans across the board of sports, and because nothing is on and all these other cancellations happened in all these other sports leagues, that they did watch, to Josh's point? Or is it that everyone's quarantined at home and working remotely, so they have more time on their hands? Or the last option is, you know, do people want to just see how SmackDown Live on Fox was going to do this week, knowing that they were going to have no audience, to see if they were going to fail or do well? I know, Kirby, you were interested in watching.
Kirby wants to know, yeah.
That's going to be a part of
the show. Yes, he's got to know mic time. Tom, based on those choices, what do you think?
Comment everything. I think.
Oh, your mic's going, Tom.
Oh, really?
Now we can hear you a little better.
Yeah, I just think it was, you know, the storm of everything happening. There's nothing to watch. You know, I would have been shocked if the ratings were down.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think, Brian?
I agree. Yeah, not really much to add. There's everything's just happening all at once, and they don't have anything else to watch. So thankfully, they watch SmackDown. So
you guys are so funny. There's nothing on TV. We have to watch Performance Center.
I run a March Madness bracket every year. I'm going through so much withdrawal right now. You have no idea.
You could have still did your bracket.
I have a perfect bracket.
Do for whenever they, you know, postpone it till. You'll have your results early. So here were the numbers of the ratings and where they were sitting. So about 2.588 million viewers was the average for SmackDown Live on Fox this past Friday. And like I said, we haven't seen that since November of 2019. And they actually finished first in the demographic of the 18 to 34 age group. And they had a 0.5 rating with that. And so SmackDown Live was up about 5.6% from last week. Really incredible. Yeah. So my next story and last story happens to be about Kevin Owens. And you guys, I know there's so much craziness going on in the world. And, you know, who would have ever thought that something like this would have happened and spread so quickly and been so infectious, where it's like literally stopping people's lives and people are losing jobs, have to work from home. There's just a lot of drama. People are sick, dying, whatever. But Kevin Owens had something to say about everything, because some people are also acting a little bit out of control, almost as if it's the apocalypse. So Kevin recorded a video, and he put this video on Twitter, and then it was transcribed by ProWrestling.com. And so this is exactly what Kevin said. If you want to see the video, you can go to his Twitter page. Let's try to take care of each other. Let's try to be nice and kind to each other. I went to the grocery store this morning. Wait for it. And I saw people acting in a way where if I were to act that way, I would just be so ashamed of myself. A lot of people like what's happening right now is feel like what's happening right now is blown out of proportion. A lot of people are afraid. And there's no right or wrong way to feel, but I do think the right way to go about things is to be good to each other and to take care of each other. I'm certainly not the first one to say it, and who am I to say anything? I'm not trying to lecture anybody. I just hope everybody takes care of themselves and each other. I think if we try to do that, it certainly can't hurt. Being kind to one another is certainly not going to make things worse. I think being helpful and kind to each other will help a lot more than freaking out over who gets the last bag of frozen peas. Anyway, I'm going to go back to my family, take care of each other, and let's all just keep fighting, and I think we'll be all right. So, way to go, Kevin Owens, hashing out some inspo, trying to get people to look at things more positive and not be so selfish. And, you know, leave things for the elderly and other people that need to go to the store and buy groceries and not fight over food. It's nuts out there.
I love him.
Me too.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything you said.
So pretty much, yeah. I think Kevin Owens is not only an amazing superstar, but he's also a role model for setting an example.
Sure. I know. I agree. I mean, with like how he's helping also with his new T-shirt, with all the proceeds for that. I mean, he's doing a lot of good things that good people should be doing. So he is definitely someone to look up to. I 100% agree with that.
Both him and Sami Zayn, like Sami does like Sami for Syria and stuff. So they both have some really great like philanthropic effort. So I love both of them.
If you have the platform to do it, I think you should. If you have a voice people listen to, then there's no reason why you shouldn't say something if you see something you don't like or you want to make better.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, that's going to wrap up our show, our after buzz, our after show via Skype. We're probably going to have to be doing it like this for at least a couple more weeks. So bear with us. We're doing what we can. You're going to be able to see this video on the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page. It was my personal YouTube page. And you can keep talking with us on various forms of social media. That is a very close-up of Kirby right there. Gabby, how can people tell you how adorable Kirby is?
You guys can tell me how adorable Kirby is on Twitter or Instagram at Gabby Loren TV. Definitely keep tuned in. Share the link to our YouTube videos of our AfterBuzz recaps for SmackDown Live so more people get access to it and can find it.
All right, Tom.
You can find me Twitter, Instagram, Tom.com. Check out my Etsy store, Connelly Central. And does Kirby have his own Instagram or Twitter yet?
No, but I use a hashtag called Kirby the Dog. So if you want to put any photos up of Kirby that you've screenshotted today, you can do that and hashtag Kirby the Dog.
I guarantee you set up an Instagram for Kirby within a week, more followers than the other three of us combined.
I know, I should. Right. And it's K-I-R-B-Y, okay? Get it right, you guys. He also has a highlight on my Instagram story as well. It's his own highlight.
Brian, how can people reach out to you?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok, because I'll probably have time on my hands to make more videos, at the Brian Santos. And if we're still doing after shows, I'm on the Katie Keene after show also.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Tariff. Again, feel free to subscribe to my YouTube channel. More videos are going to be coming that way on there. I'm going to keep hush-hush on what those are. So subscribe so you can be the first to find out about those. And for all your other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, make sure you follow them on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks for tuning in through Skype. For Gabby Loren, Tom Connolly, and Brian Santos, I'm Josh Tariff. Wash your hands, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.